Man, it's good to have you at church this morning. I'm looking forward to sharing God's Word with you and worshiping with you. And hope everybody had a safe, enjoyable Independence Day. We certainly thank God for the freedom to be here this morning and worship together. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 11. The title of our message this morning is Unwrapping Your Spiritual Gifts. So today we're beginning a little three-week series on discovering your spiritual gifts. Now, for some of us, this will be a bit of a refresher course because we covered spiritual gifts when we first planted the church. But it is one of those topics that is so important. It's so vital to the health of the church. It's something we're going to talk about from time to time. In fact, the topic of spiritual gifts has been one of confusion and at times controversy for many years. We can actually trace this all the way back to the first century church at Corinth. Part of the reason for the confusion is that often too much focus is placed on certain gifts, while other gifts have been viewed as less important or overlooked altogether. And the gifts that have been stressed as important can often be confusing within themselves, causing people to shy away from discovering their spiritual gifts. Well, this only serves to weaken and divide the church, rendering it ineffective in the mission that God has designed us for. That's exactly what was happening in Corinth. In fact, the Corinthian church was plagued with many problems. It was filled with division, lawsuits, immorality. On top of that, there's confusion about marriage, about food sacrificed to idols, about giving, about worship, about the Lord's Supper, about the resurrection, and spiritual gifts. Really and truly, it was a mess. If you look back at the very beginning of the letter, some are claiming to be of Peter, some are claiming to be of Paul, some are claiming to be of Apollos. To make matters worse, some of the believers thought they were more important than others because they had what they considered some pretty spectacular gifts. So Paul wrote this letter to the church to address all of these issues, and we find his instructions regarding spiritual gifts in chapter 12. But before we go there, I want to read what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verse 5 and 6, and we're going to cover this passage in a couple of weeks. But he writes, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." So what Paul is saying here is we have placed our faith in Christ. We are of the body of Christ. And the Holy Spirit has equipped us in a special way for a special purpose. But we have the responsibility of discovering that gift and using it for God's glory. In order for us to do that, we need to sort of unwrap the gift. The gift is there, but it might still be in the box. Still in the wrapper. It needs to be opened up. So that's what we're going to try to do this morning as we begin this series. So the first thing we're going to look at three different things. The first thing we're going to talk about is the definition of spiritual gifts. Look with me at verses 1 through 3. Paul writes, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Well, the phrase "now concerning" there in verse 1 suggests that Paul is responding to questions raised by the Corinthians themselves. So they were seeking counsel. Unfortunately, they most likely did so not to gain a better understanding, but to prove that their position was the right one. But Paul begins by telling them that he does not want them to be confused. He does not want them to be uninformed regarding spiritual gifts. So this would indicate that the believers there lacked understanding when it came to the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I believe it's safe to say that if churches that were led by the likes of Paul and Peter and Apollos lacked understanding regarding spiritual gifts, it's very likely that churches today lack understanding. So it's important to begin by defining spiritual gifts. So first, let's talk about what spiritual gifts are not. It's very common for some people to confuse talents and gifts. Now, God blesses some people with natural ability or talent. Some people have the natural ability to sing. Some have the natural talent toward creativity. Some have the natural ability to play an instrument. Some are talented toward mechanics, technology, athletics. But there are a couple of differences in talents and gifts. One difference is, although I believe talent comes from God, it's not unique to believers. Unsaved people have talents as well. Spiritual gifts, however, are supernatural grace gifts given only to followers of Christ, and they're not earned, they're not learned. Which brings us to the other difference. A talent can be learned. For example, if we really want to sing, most people can take voice lessons and learn to sing. If we want to learn to play an instrument, we can take lessons. If we want to learn to paint, we can take a painting class. Talent or ability can be learned. As a matter of fact, some of you might teach yourself to play the guitar or the piano. And when you're finished, you can say, I taught myself how to play. You see, that's the difference. We don't teach ourselves to be merciful or giving or wise. Spiritual gifts are given to us, not earned or learned. But here's the interesting thing. We see many people yielding their talents to the Lord's work. But there are others who never yield their gifts for the Lord's work. We're blessed with talented people. How often have we been privileged to hear people like Travis and Leland and Adam and Tricia sing and play for us? And you think about the fact that Chuck Schenck and Mitch Berryman and George Kelly have used their craftsman skills to create some really cool stuff for our church. Yet others have been given a gift and they never unwrap it for the good of the body of Christ. Now, talents, as much as we enjoy them, and although they can be used for God's glory, they differ from spiritual gifts. Some people also confuse the gifts of the Spirit with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit that's found in Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, are to be demonstrated in every believer. The gifts, however, are uniquely distributed by God for the building up of His kingdom. In other words, every believer possesses and should demonstrate every fruit of the Spirit, but every believer does not possess every gift of the Spirit. Well, you might ask, why is it so important to know about spiritual gifts, to understand them? Well, I love what John MacArthur says in his book, The Church. He says, no local congregation will be what it should be until it understands spiritual gifts. Now, I don't think there's anyone here this morning that desires for legacy to be a mediocre church. I think we all desire for us to be all that we can be for Jesus. We will never get there if we don't understand how God has equipped and gifted us. So let's try to define the spiritual gifts. Now, I've read some pretty impressive definitions with some pretty big words, but I like the way Charles Stanley simply defines it. He says, spiritual gifts are special abilities given to believers at conversion by the Holy Spirit for building up the body of Christ. Now, I would add to that, since God is our Creator, I believe these gifts reside in us from our physical birth, and they become fully operational for God's glory when we experience a spiritual rebirth. But here we have a simple definition regarding who gets them, when they get them, where they come from, and how they're to be used. So with that in mind, we're going to take a quick look at the various spiritual gifts. You should have a list of these with your outline and your bulletin. And before we take a look at these gifts and their descriptions, let me just say, my name is Dennis. It is not Jesus. It is not the Holy Spirit. So I am in no way an expert on spiritual gifts, okay? However, based on what I have learned from God's Word, this is, to the best of my knowledge, how we should approach spiritual gifts. Now, there are some really smart people out there who would disagree with me. There are equally as many that would agree with my interpretation. So my encouragement to you is to listen this morning with an open mind and heart, But don't take my word for it. Read God's word. Pray. Allow him to be your teacher regarding spiritual gifts. So in studying the gifts, I believe they can be put into one of two categories. Sign gifts and service gifts. Okay? Sign gifts, in my opinion, were evident in the New Testament and served to validate the message and the messenger before God's word was complete. I believe the gifts of performing miracles, speaking in, and interpreting tongues fall into that category. There was a time before God's word was complete, they were necessary. This is not to say that these gifts do not still exist today, simply that they are not necessary with the completed word of God, in my opinion. The service gifts were for building up the believers and the body of Christ, and these gifts are still very much necessary today. It's through these gifts that we're equipped and motivated to serve God and each other. So, since you have your list, I'm going to move through this pretty quickly, but I do want to read a description of each spiritual gift that we're going to be considering, and these will be included in the survey that you'll take at the end of this series. Number one, leadership. Aids the body by leading and directing members to accomplish the goals and purposes of the church. Administration aids the body by steering others to remain on task, enabling the body to organize according to God-given purposes and long-term goals. Teaching, instructing members in the truths and doctrines of God's word for the purposes of building up, unifying, and maturing the body. Knowledge, the gift of knowledge manifests itself in teaching. It is a God-given ability to learn, know, and explain the precious truths of God's word. Wisdom is the gift that discerns the work of the Holy Spirit in the body and applies his teachings and actions to the needs of the body. Prophecy is proclaiming the word of God boldly. This builds up the body and leads to conviction of sin. Discernment aids the body by recognizing the true intentions of those within or related to the body. Discernment tests the message and actions of others for the protection and well-being of the body. Exhortation. Possessors of this gift encourage members to be involved in and enthusiastic about the work of the Lord. Members with this gift are good counselors and motivate others to service. Shepherding. The gift of shepherding is manifested in persons who look out for the spiritual welfare of others. Faith. Trust God to work beyond the human capabilities of the people. Believers with this gift encourage others to trust in God in the face of apparently insurmountable odds. Evangelism, the gift of effectively and enthusiastically leading others to Christ. Apostleship, the church sends apostles from the body to plant churches or to be missionaries. Apostles motivate the body to look beyond its walls in order to carry out the Great Commission. The gift of apostleship is not the same as the office of apostleship in the New Testament. Service/helps. Those with the gift of service helps recognize practical needs in the body and joyfully give assistance in meeting those needs. Christians with this gift do not mind working behind the scenes. Mercy. Cheerful acts of compassion characterize those with the gift of mercy. They keep the body healthy and unified by keeping others aware of the needs within the church. Giving. Members with the gift of giving give freely and joyfully to the work and mission of the body. Hospitality. Those with this gift have the ability to make visitors, guests, and strangers feel at ease. They often use their home to entertain guests. Now, in a couple of weeks, we will go into more detail. We'll provide a spiritual gift survey that will help you determine what your spiritual gifts are. We also hope to share with you how you might use those spiritual gifts here at church, serving, and serving out in the community. But today I just wanted us to grasp sort of a general understanding of what a spiritual gift is. So with that definition in mind, let's move to the second thing I want to talk about, which is the diversity of spiritual gifts. Let's look at verses 4 through 6. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Now, the key word in these passages, of course, is diversities and differences. So Paul encourages us to include diversity in our understanding of spiritual gifts. That's very important. We all have different kinds of gifts. There are also different ways to minister or serve using our gifts. The word ministry speaks to opportunities for expressing our spiritual gifts in practical ways. So basically, Paul is telling us here, some of us may have the same gift, but we may use it differently. For example, I can think of two friends who have the gift of teaching. Now, one of them prefers to minister in a setting with a small group. The other prefers a classroom full of people. Both are gifted teachers, but they minister differently. Let's say you have the gift of hospitality. I can think of three different ways you could serve our church if you had that gift. Join the greeter team, join the fellowship team, host a small group. Another thing that is so beautiful and wise about the diversity of spiritual gifts is that this morning we have several people that I think have the gift of mercy. And within that gift, their life experiences and passions come to life. So some of them are more merciful toward children. Some are more merciful toward battered women. Some are more merciful toward the elderly. Some toward the poor. So you see, the beauty of diversity is that without it, some would be overlooked. So just because you might have the same gift as someone else doesn't mean you're going to minister in the same way that they do. And it's important that we embrace that diversity. We should not expect everyone to serve in the same way that we do. Well, Paul also says that there are different activities or workings. The word activities has the same root word as the word energy. So it refers to the results that come when we use our gifts. As we minister in different ways with our varying gifts, there will be different results, and those are left up to God. Philippians 2:13 reminds us, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure." So we just make ourselves available to Him, and He will use us to accomplish His purposes. And there's not one gift that fits all believers. There's not one way to serve. God has uniquely designed and equipped us in different ways. As I mentioned earlier, the Corinthians placed a higher priority on some of the ecstatic gifts like speaking in tongues. And apparently thought of those who possess those gifts as sort of spiritual superstars. So Paul instructs them on the diversity of the gifts, stressing the fact that all gifts are important. We can think of it this way. The same God is at work in all of us. But He customizes His work through us for His glory and for strengthening the church. Let me illustrate. Let's suppose that we had a fellowship here, and Travis goes to the dessert table to get some dessert. And he doesn't get a dessert plate, he gets a dinner plate. It's more like a sampler platter of desserts, you know. There's a lot of goodies on there. And as he makes his way back to the table, he drops it on the floor. Now, if he's surrounded by people with different gifts, this is how they might respond. The gift of prophecy. I could have told you that was going to happen. The gift of service. Oh, let me help you clean that up. The gift of teaching. The reason that it failed was you had too much stuff on the plate. The gift of exhortation. Next time, maybe you should let someone else carry the plate. The gift of giving. Here, you can have my dessert. The gift of mercy. Don't feel too bad. It could have happened to anyone. You see, we've all been gifted differently, so we act differently. We respond differently. Now, here's the thing. The church at Corinth had every gift that was needed in order to function as a biblical community. Earlier in chapter 1, Paul wrote, "I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by Him and all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ." So even with all of its problems, this community of faith did not lack any spiritual gift. Yet they were not a healthy functioning church. They got way off track, focusing on certain gifts, ignoring others, not understanding and embracing diversity. And they were rendered ineffective in accomplishing God's mission. Well, just like Corinth, Legacy has just the right amount of spiritual gifts. And just like Corinth, we can find ourselves in a fog of ineffectiveness if we're not careful. Now, one of our core values here at Legacy is centered on strategic service. That core value reads, we believe God provides uniquely designed and gifted people to accomplish His work in the church. So we believe that God has the right people in the right place at the right time. All we have to do is do the right thing. We have to come together with the different gifts God has given us, using them alongside others for His glory. Now, if you really think about it, in the body of Christ, we exhibit unity in our diversity. A good analogy of that is singing. Let's say you have two people who just individually have beautiful voices. It's so cool to hear them sing. But when they sing together and one sings the melody and one sings the harmony, it's even more beautiful. It's a fuller experience. You see, God has made each of us different, yet when we come together in one spirit, it will be a beautiful picture of God's mission for His church, because that's His design. So it's important to understand the definition of spiritual gifts. It's important to understand the diversity of spiritual gifts. Finally, it's important to understand the distribution of spiritual gifts. Let's look at verses 7 through 11. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Now, as we study spiritual gifts, it's important to keep in mind that there are some things that are listed as spiritual gifts that we are commanded to do whether we possess that gift or not. For example, while some have the gift of giving, all of us are expected to give of our resources for the expansion of God's kingdom. Likewise, we are not excused from our responsibility to share our faith just because we don't have the gift of evangelism. So we need to keep that in mind as we look at the distribution of the gifts. Now, verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Interesting verse. This terminology, the manifestation of the Spirit, suggests that every believer has some display of the Holy Spirit's presence in their life. It also addresses the goal of the gifts given by the Holy Spirit. They are for the profit of all. So the gifts are not primarily for our edification, they are for the good of all believers. You see, when we think of a gift, we typically think of it as for our personal gratification, when spiritual gifts are actually for corporate edification. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So if I have a gift, it's going to bless you. If you have a gift, it's going to bless me. Together we're going to bless each other. That's God's design. Well, beginning in verse 8, Paul listed several manifestations or gifts of the Spirit, but he really shifts his focus here from the diversity of the gifts to the distribution of the gifts. You see, although there are many gifts, they are all distributed by the same Holy Spirit. And they are distributed as He pleases or sees fit. Now, the reason I believe Paul addressed this was some people had what they considered the best gifts, and they sort of looked down on those who didn't have those same gifts. Others weren't satisfied with the gift they'd been given. Perhaps it was more of a behind-the-scenes gift, and they wanted something more dynamic. When I think about that, it's kind of like it's kind of childish, really. It's almost like a kid opening presents on Christmas morning, and they're okay with their presents if they see what someone else has, and then they want what they have. Paul's point is the Holy Spirit is the giver of the gifts. He decides what you get because He knows what you need. You know, nothing makes me more anxious than selecting a gift for someone, especially in this day and time when most people have everything they want or need. But you know how it is. You want to select a gift that's going to be perfect for them, one that they will use, one they will benefit from. But as hard as we try, oftentimes we just don't get it right, do we? Well, God never gets it wrong. You see, He created us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And He has given us the gifts that are perfect for us. So let's not shy away from, let's not be afraid to unwrap and discover our spiritual gifts and use them for God's glory. Well, this morning, we've sort of just scratched the surface we sort of unwrapped the topic of spiritual gifts. We talked about the definition, the diversity, the distribution of the gifts, but there's so much more to learn. So next week we'll continue our study and hopefully we'll deepen our understanding even more. And this is all I want you to do this week. I just want you to pray and meditate. I want you to take that list that's in your bulletin of spiritual gifts and just pray over that list, read those scripture references we have there, and ask the Lord to use this process over the next 3 weeks to reveal or affirm your giftedness and how you might use it for His glory. Okay? Let's pray together. Father God, it is so good to be in your house today and to have the opportunity to worship you and just fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, we are really humbled by the fact that you desire to use us for your glory, that you desire to use us to grow your kingdom, to share the gospel, to spread the word. So God, there's great humility just in knowing that, and there's great anxiousness sometimes just with carrying that responsibility. But we're promised in your word that you equip us to do what you called us to. And I thank you this morning that every person in here who is a follower of Christ has been gifted in a special way for a special purpose. And Father, there may be some here this morning that are just serving and they've never really explored what their spiritual gift is. And I pray that as we go through this process, God, that their mind and their heart might be opened. And God, you'll just show them how you have specifically gifted them to serve you. And Lord, there may be others here who know what their gift is, and maybe they've used it for years, and but recently they've kind of put it back in the box, wrapped it back up, put it on the shelf, and they're no longer using it for your glory. God, we want to be a church that's serving you. And I pray that you will just take this series, this message today, and you'll open our hearts to the importance of everyone doing their part, so that the body can be complete, moving in one accord, accomplishing things for your glory. So God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you give us everything we need to serve you. And God, we love you and we give you praise for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.